a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Source for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on the KSL News Radio app, sponsored by NAR Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Live coverage, the U.S. Capitol protest on KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. State and federal law enforcement groups are gearing up to protect state houses after reports of protests being planned in all 50 states. The FBI says they're looking into social media posts to see if people are hoping to start problems here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has the story.
Federal investigators say they do not have any specific or substantiated threats to Salt Lake City, but still, the violent protest at the Capitol has them gearing up for possible problems.
We got a heightened posture here at the FBI, carrying through the weekend and inauguration on the 20th.
FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge Dave Fitzgibbon says they don't want to interfere with people's rights to protest peacefully, but they still have to look at each possible threat on a case-by-case basis to see if it's actually criminal.
We work very closely with our U.S. Attorney's Office on the statutes and where that line is drawn. Sometimes it could be a gray line.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:01. Governor Spencer Cox says it won't take much for him to deploy the National Guard this weekend if planned protests get out of hand. Governor Cox says he respects people's First Amendment rights, but
we want to make it very clear that the Constitution only protects your rights together peaceably, and that there will be zero tolerance for any violence whatsoever, any property destruction.
The governor says all measures will be taken to keep the Capitol complex secure. Meantime, so far, no units of the Utah National Guard have been sent to Washington, D.C. That's according to Lieutenant Colonel Jamie Thomas, who says they're monitoring the situation in D.C. ahead of the inauguration. Utah's National Guard says they will support other troops if called and needed. Congressman John Curtis is revealing a threatening message left taped to his office door today. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has the story.
Curtis was on MSNBC and asked how he's feeling about his safety. That's when he held up a paper with his picture on it. The eyes turned to skulls and it said, quote, wanted for treason for resisting the true electoral victor, Trump.
I was taped to my office door just a few minutes ago. And it's in reference to me not supporting the objection to the articles of impeachment.
Curtis says he and his colleagues are concerned for their safety, but later tweeted, this doesn't make him fearful or angry. It makes him sad for the divisiveness in our country. The Capitol has had heightened security since a group of protesters broke in last week. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
National security officials have just laid out their plans to protect the nation's capital during the inauguration next week. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Vice President Pence and federal emergency management officials ensuring Americans that their newly elected officials will be safe during next week's inauguration.
I imagine the question in everybody's mind is, why is it we think that what happened on January 6th can't happen again next week? And I would point very keenly to the level planning and coordination we've been carrying out for more than 9 months.
FBI Director Christopher Wray also says they are staying on top of any attempts in Washington, D.C. and across the country.
We are seeing an extensive amount of concerning online chatter about a number of events surrounding the inauguration.
Ray confirmed over 100 arrests have been made in the insurrection so far, and 200 other suspects are being sought. Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam has some advice for anyone who's thinking about coming to the area to start trouble.
You need to turn around right now and go home. You are not welcome here, and you're not welcome in our nation's capital. And if you come here and act out, Virginia will be ready.
The entire National Mall in Washington, D.C. will be closed on Inauguration Day. The measure is the latest step to prevent more violent protests. More than 20,000 National Guard troops have already been mobilized to protect the presidential swearing-in. And President-elect Biden is set to lay out his COVID-19 plan in just a few minutes from now. The president-elect has said getting the virus under control is his number one concern. Tonight, he will lay out his plan for doing so, as well as how to prop up the economy. It's expected he'll announce a nearly $2 trillion plan to speed up vaccinations and provide more economic stimulus. And we will bring you the president-elect's remarks live in just a few minutes. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Now an update on an Amber Alert out of Price this afternoon. Here's KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt.
This is an Amber Alert notification of a child abduction in Price, Utah, and police are asking for the public's help. The suspect is identified as 38-year-old Jacqueline Gardner, who is 5'8", 165 pounds, has blonde hair and blue eyes. The child is identified by police as an infant girl with blonde hair and brown eyes. Gardner is driving a red 1999 Volkswagen Jetta with Utah plate 2, G is in golf, W is in water, Z is in zebra. If you have any information, please contact Price Police at 435-636-3190 or simply dial 911. This has been an Amber Alert of a child abduction. Our next alert will be in 30 minutes.
KSL News Time 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Meese.
One crash, and that's all it took to jam up the drive northbound I-15, where we have emergency traffic in Davis County. Delays start as you're leaving Farmington, and these are stop-and-go speeds all the way up to the crash at Center Street, Clearfield. We had an accident on 5600 West called out at 2400 South. That may have cleared. An auto-pedestrian crash on West Temple just to the side of 33rd South, and a crash Sunnyside Avenue and 1700 East. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. A new estimate of just how widespread COVID is in Los Angeles County. Listen.
10 million people live here in LA County, and the county says its new epidemic modeling finds one in three people in the county has been infected with COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. Infections here continue to rise as the county gets ready to open its first mass vaccination site on Friday at Dodger Stadium.
One out of three people in L.A. County. ABC's Alex Stone reporting there. Two more Catholic priests in Ogden tested positive for COVID-19. Mass is canceled at both St. Joseph's Church in Ogden and St. Florence in Huntsville. Anyone having contact with Fathers Mike Shimbato or Joseph Minnith since January 1st should follow CDC guidelines about contact with infected people. Last week, Father Rene Rodillas passed away shortly after a positive diagnosis. Results of an investigation into the conduct of USU President Noel Cockett are expected this week. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik says the Utah Board of Higher Ed meets in a closed session tomorrow morning to review the results, which will later be made public.
The investigation stems back to a Zoom meeting that happened on December 8th between Dr. Cockett, the USU Director of Athletics, and the Aggie football team's leadership council. Some players claim comments made by Cockett reflected a cultural and religious bias toward then-interim head football coach Frank Miley.
The meeting was not recorded, although Cockett, the players, and Miley all released statements. A Layton gymnastics coach is blaming a drinking problem for inappropriately touching one of his students. Kelly Brown was arrested for illegal sexual contact with a 15-year-old girl in 2018. The North Davis gymnastics coach tells police he knew he made some mistakes and denies abusing any other girls. KSL News Time 5:08. Now, my minute of news brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. Imagine spending your life climbing the corporate ladder and you finally make it to the tippity top and they name you CEO of a company called COVID. I couldn't believe that there's actually a company named COVID. See, I accidentally stumbled on COVID.com, and there they were yesterday, selling TV cables or something, and I figured this can't be real. So I called them.
Thank you for calling COVID, your connection company, to speak to a COVID sales and customer service representative.
Yep, it's true. They've been in business since long before the pandemic. So what does COVID Incorporated actually do? Well, here's the CEO, Norm Carson.
We're actually a manufacturer of high-quality audiovisual cables and connectors and interfacing products.
On the list of corporate challenges, having a deadly worldwide pandemic named after your company has to be up there. But in an interview, Carson told KJZZ Public Radio that things have been all right for COVID.
But overall, it's been okay. We've gotten a lot of support from our customers and friends and suppliers.
Nice. You gotta love the attitude. The CEO is smiling. And business is good. COVID is found in Tempe, Arizona, where the warehouse is full of cable and everybody spells the name right.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 9s, and it is triple team traffic and emergency traffic. For Davis County drivers, now's the chance to hop off of I-15 northbound and take Highway 89 before it gets super filled in, because you don't want to go past Farmington. Solid stop-and-go delays with traffic crawling along from Burton Lane in Farmington all the way up to where we have the crash that had been blocking a right lane of traffic at Center Street in Clearfield. These delays are pretty intense. They're going to take you anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes to get through. Now, southbound I-15 still a little busy in Riverdale. After that, looking good. Salt Lake City PD on the scene of a crash at 17th East and Sunnyside Avenue. Michelle?
Just a little slow. This is southbound SR36 as you're approaching 1000 North in Tooele. For drivers on Bangor Highway, pretty quiet there. Just a little slowing both directions around the 201 freeway. And if you're up in Summit County, a little bit of delay if you're on Park Avenue. Steve?
Not a bad drive leaving downtown Salt Lake City. If you're on southbound I-15, you will see some slowdowns, though, farther out of the south interchange through Midvale. More slowdowns on northbound I-15 between 90th and about 7200 south into Midvale. I-80, the Bell Route's in good shape this afternoon. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air is ready to help and continues to take precautions to limit your exposure. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 9s, and Kevin Eubank has your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Friday.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, temperatures right around 40 degrees with mostly sunny skies. We'll be back into the upper 30s for 6 o'clock, mid-30s for 7, low 30s for 8, and upper 20s for 9. Ultimate lows will be in the low 20s under mostly clear skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 39 degrees in Salt Lake City, moments away from sunset. KSL News Time 5:12. And now, let's relax with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, energy drinks have been popular for years now, but a new drink that's hitting the market is intended to have just that opposite effect, and you're right. They are called relaxation drinks, and they aren't uniform in form or taste, but they all make promises. Some offer sleep, others promote better focus and creativity. Their marketing claims say they are healthy and calming. Now, the marketplace is already crowded with such brands as Tranquini, Just Chill Drink, and Marley's Mellow Mood. Pepsi is also getting in on it with its Driftwell beverage. Now, the drinks use a variety of ingredients, including L-theanine, magnesium, melatonin, and CBD. Now, all of these concoctions are meant to make you relaxed or sleepy, which, of course, is very subjective responses. That means that we have the good old placebo effect in play. On some level, these drinks don't actually need to do anything, because if you anticipate they're going to make you relax, you might just relax anyway. Now, that means a key ingredient for all these drinks might just be good old marketing. Jeff?
All right. Thanks, Maria. Utah now has the most dark sky parks in the United States. Jordanelle, Kodachrome Basin, Rockport State Parks, they're the latest to join the international dark sky park status. These are areas which restrict artificial light pollution and have exceptional qualities on starry, starry nights. Several studies now show how suicide risk and autism are connected. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
One BYU professor says more acceptance of neurodiversity and more empathy for people with autism could help lessen those feelings of rejection and suicidal thinking. Michael South says there has been an increase in suicidal attempts, ideation, and death by suicide for people with autism. It's worse for women and girls who are more likely to either be undiagnosed or try to hide or camouflage their symptoms.
Researchers say they would like medical examiners to help with these studies, too, while turning toward prevention measures. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, those 70 and older are next up on the list for getting the vaccination. But in Davis, Morgan, and Weber counties, it might not happen so quickly. KSL News Radio's Kira Hoffelmeyer is live now. Kira?
Jeff, the Weber-Morgan Health District is saying just because a group is eligible to get a shot doesn't mean they can. The health district's report for Weber and Morgan counties, there are already more than 15,000 folks who are 70 and older on the wait list, but the Standard Examiner reports the department is only getting about 1,300 doses per week, so that math isn't adding up. Davis County is getting in the ballpark of triple the number of doses, but it has 25,000 people who are 70-plus. There. The health district says they recognize it's annoying, but the reality is you just might have to keep trying back, Jeff.
You're going to have to be patient. Trending right now on social media, superhero news. Chris Evans is said to be coming back to play Captain America again. He was supposed to be done after Avengers Endgame, but the New York Post reports he's in talks to rejoin the Marvel Cinematic Universe for one, maybe two movies. Not Captain America movies per se, but relax, everybody. Nothing is nailed down yet. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Representative John Curtis says a threatening message left taped to his office door makes him sad for the divisiveness in our country. The message had his picture with skulls in the eyes and the title Wanted for Treason, referencing his vote not to object to the election results. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz.
Second, President-elect Joe Biden is set to detail a nearly $2 trillion COVID relief plan within minutes. Stay here. We'll bring his remarks to you live. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
That's going to be northbound I-15. It's just a mess in Davis County. We had an accident near Center Street in Clearfield, blocked a right lane of traffic, and that is what's causing your stop-and-go delays all the way back to Farmington. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Mostly sunny skies, temperatures above average, and the trend will continue tomorrow. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 39 degrees. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. At this hour, President-elect Biden will outline a nearly $2 trillion plan to rescue America from a year-long pandemic.
If Congress passes the Biden COVID plan, it would be one of the most expensive ever U.S. recovery packages. $1.9 trillion to speed vaccines, testing, and return children to school. Billions more for state and local governments facing police and fire department layoffs, extending unemployment till the fall, and adding a total of $2,000 stimulus checks to most Americans.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. Vice President Pence paying an unannounced visit today to Capitol Hill to meet National Guard members on duty a week after a deadly attack. Pence also talking with officials from the Guard, the FBI, and Homeland Security, mapping out a strategy for the inauguration.
We are committed to an orderly transition and to a safe inauguration. And the American people deserve nothing less.
Federal authorities looking into new threats heading into the inauguration. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Our posture is aggressive. I'm just going to stay that way through the inauguration.
Over 100 arrests have been made. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more on one of them.
The FBI said Kevin Seafried was photographed carrying a Confederate flag through the halls of Congress in one of the more striking images to emerge from the insurrection. Seafried was arrested in Delaware after authorities issued several bulletins seeking public help to identify him. The FBI has received more than 125,000 photos and videos as agents try to find everyone involved. They've looked at airline passenger manifests and airport surveillance cameras.
Seafried's son, who was with him at the Capitol last week, was also arrested. Several lawmakers say they want to award Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman the Congressional Gold Medal for his bravery and quick thinking during the attack. Incoming First Lady Jill Biden relaunching Joining Forces, an Obama administration initiative that supports service members, veterans, and their families. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth.
Presidential impeachment.
A threatening message was posted to Utah Congressman John Curtis' office door this morning. It was a photo of Curtis with two skulls and crossbones over his eyes, and the message read, "Wanted for treason for rejecting the true electoral victor, President Donald Trump." In a video posted to Twitter, the congressman gives his take on where we go from here.
And the answer to that question, I think, depends on each and every one of us. It would be delightful if we could just look to one person and have this healing take place by one person, by the president or any other single person. But the reality of it is it's going to take every single one of us. It's going to take every one of us to think about what we're posting on social media. It's going to take every one of us to think about what we're saying about other people. It's going to take every one of us to stop rumors. It's going to take every one of us to be better people. I was on the treadmill this morning listening to a talk by Kevin Worthen, the president of BYU, a great, great man. And he was talking about unity, and he quoted Martin Luther King. We've all heard it, but it resonated with me this morning. You'll excuse me if I get a word or two wrong, but darkness cannot drive out darkness. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. While somehow we've got to get our arms around that, it just feels like we're trying to drive out what we don't like with more darkness. And I just want you all to know my personal commitment to do a better job with this as a person and as an individual. In just a few days, I want everybody to know that I will be attending the inauguration of Joe Biden. Now, he and I have vast political differences. A sea is between me and him, if that makes sense, on our political philosophy. But I have tremendous respect for the office of the president.
Interrupt Congressman Curtis, because Joe Biden is now speaking about his COVID stimulus plan live. Let's listen on KSS.
Spike at record levels. There is real pain overwhelming the real economy. One where people rely on paychecks, not their investments, to pay for their bills and their meals and their children's needs. You won't see this pain if your scorecard is how things are going on Wall Street. But you will see it very clearly if you examine what the twin crises of a pandemic and this sinking economy have laid bare. The growing divide between those few people at the very top who are doing quite well in this economy and the rest of America. Just since this pandemic began, the wealth of the top 1% of the nation has grown roughly $1.5 trillion since the end of last year, four times the amount for the entire bottom 50% of American wage earners. Some 18 million Americans are still relying on unemployment insurance. Some 400,000 small businesses have permanently closed their doors. And it's not hard to see that we're in the middle of the once-in-several-generations economic crisis with the once-in-several-generations public health crisis. The crisis of deep human suffering is in plain sight, and there's no time to waste. We have to act, and we have to act now. This is what economists are telling us. More importantly, it's what the values we hold dear in our hearts as Americans are telling us. A growing chorus of top economists agree that the moment of crisis, in this moment of crisis, with interest rates at historic lows, we cannot afford inaction. It's not just that smart fiscal investments, including deficit spending, are more urgent than ever. It's that the return on these investments in jobs, racial equity, will prevent long-term economic damage, and the benefits will far surpass the cost. A growing number of top economists has shown even our debt situation will be more stable, not less stable, if we seize this moment with vision and purpose. And so tonight, I'd like to talk to you about our way forward, a two-step plan of rescue and recovery. a two-step plan to build a bridge to the other side of the crisis we face, to a better, stronger, more secure America. Tonight, I'll lay out my first step, the American Rescue Plan, that will tackle the pandemic and get direct financial assistance and relief to Americans who need it the most. Next month, my first appearance before a joint session of Congress, I will lay out my Build Back Better recovery plan. It'll make historic investments in infrastructure, that Build Back Better plan. Infrastructure, manufacturing, innovation, research and development, and clean energy. Investments in a caregiving economy and in skills and training needed by our workers to be able to compete and win in the global economy of the coming years. Moody's, an independent Wall Street firm, said my approach will create more than 18 million good-paying jobs. Our rescue and recovery plan is a path forward with both seriousness of purpose and a clear plan with transparency and accountability, with a call for unity that is equally necessary. And unity is not some pie-in-the-sky dream. It's a practical step to getting the things we have to get done as a country get done together. As I said when it passed in December, the bipartisan COVID-19 relief package was a very important first step. And I'm grateful for the Democrats, Republicans, and independent members of Congress who came together to get it done. But I said at the time, it's just a down payment. We need more action, more bipartisanship, and we need to move quickly. We need to move fast. Our rescue plan starts aggressively in order to speed up our national COVID-19 response. The vaccines offer so much hope, and we're grateful to the scientists and researchers and everyone who participated in the clinical trials. We're also grateful for the rigorous review and testing that has led to millions of people around the world already being vaccinated safely. But the vaccine rollout in the United States has been a dismal failure thus far. Tomorrow, I will lay out our vaccination plan to correct course and meet our goal of 100 million shots at the end of my first 100 days as president. This will be one of the most challenging operational efforts we have ever undertaken as a nation. We'll have to move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated, to create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms, to increase vaccine supply, and to get it out the door as fast as possible. We'll also do everything we can to keep our educators and students safe, to safely reopen a majority of our K-8 schools by the end of the first 100 days. We can do this if we give the school districts, the schools themselves, the communities, the states, the clear guidance they need, as well as the resources they need that they can't afford right now because of the economic dilemma they're in. That means more testing and transportation, additional cleaning and sanitizing services in those schools, protective equipment and ventilation systems in those schools. We need to make sure that workers who have COVID-19 symptoms are quarantined. And those who need to take care of their family members with COVID-19 symptoms should be able to stay home from work and still get paid. This will reduce the spread of the virus and make sure workers get the support they need to maintain their families. But we need about $400 billion in funding from Congress to make all of what I just said happen. It's a great deal, but I'm convinced we are ready to get this done. The very health of our nation is at stake. Our rescue plan also includes immediate relief to Americans hardest hit and most in need. We will finish the job of getting a total of $2,000 in cash relief to people who need it the most. The $600 already appropriated is simply not enough. You just have to choose between paying rent and putting food on the table. Even for those who've kept their jobs, these checks are really important. You see, if you're an American worker making $40,000 a year with less than $400 in savings, maybe you've lost hours, or maybe you're doing fewer shifts, driving a truck or caring for the kids or the elderly. You're out there putting your life on the line to work during this pandemic and worried every week that you get sick, lose your job, or worse. $2,000 is going to go a long way to ease that pain. We'll also provide more peace of mind for struggling families by extending unemployment insurance beyond the end of March for millions of workers. That means that 18 million Americans currently rely on unemployment benefits, while they look for work, can count on these checks continuing to be there. Plus, it will be a $400 per week supplement so people can make ends meet. This gets money quickly into the pockets of millions of Americans who will spend it immediately on food and rent and other basic needs. As the economists tell us, that helps the whole economy grow. We'll also tackle the growing hunger crisis in America. As I speak, and the vice president-elect has spoken to this many times, one in seven households in America, more than one in five Black and Latino households in America, report they don't have enough food to eat. This includes 30 million adults and as many as 12 million children. It's wrong. It's tragic. It's unnecessary. It's unacceptable. So we're going to extend emergency nutritional assistance for 43 million children and their families enrolled in the SNAP program through the rest of this year. We'll help hard-hit restaurants prepare meals for the hungry, provide food for the families who need it. We'll invest $3 billion in making sure mothers and their young children have the nutrition they need. This will not only meet our moral obligation we have to one another, but it'll also spur our economic growth, get restaurants and workers back on the job. And as we work to keep people from going hungry, we'll also work to keep a roof over their heads to stem the growing housing crisis and evictions that are looming. Approximately 14 million Americans have fallen behind on rent, many at risk of eviction. If we don't act now, there'll be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as the pandemic rages on. This would overwhelm emergency shelters, increase COVID-19 infections as people have nowhere to go and can't socially distance. Next week, we'll take action to extend nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. This will provide more than 25 million Americans greater stability instead of living on the edge every single month. And I'm asking Congress to do its part by funding rental assistance for 14 million hard-hit families and tenants. It will also be a bridged economic recovery for countless mom-and-pop landlords. These crises are straining the budgets of states and cities and tribal communities that are forced to consider layoff and service restrictions of the most needed workers. It means that people putting their lives at risk are the very people now at risk of losing their jobs. Police officers, firefighters, all first responders, nurses, educators. You know, over the last year alone, over 600,000 educators have lost their jobs in our cities and towns. Our rescue plan will provide emergency funding to keep these essential workers on the job and maintain essential services. It will ensure that vaccines are administered and schools can reopen. Vice President-elect Harris and I have been speaking with county officials, mayors, governors of both parties on a regular basis. We're ready to work with them, help them get the relief they need. Our rescue plan will also help small businesses that are the engines of our economic growth, our economy as a whole, the glue that holds communities together as well. But they're hurting badly. And you realize they account for nearly half of the entire total U.S. workforce. Our rescue plan will provide flexible grants to help those hardest hit small businesses survive the pandemic, and the low-cost capital that will help entrepreneurs of all backgrounds create and maintain jobs, plus provide the essential goods and services that communities depend upon. Last week, I laid out how we'll make sure that our emergency small business relief is distributed swiftly and equitably, unlike the first time around. We're going to focus on small businesses on Main Street. We'll focus on minority-owned small businesses, women-owned small businesses, and finally having equal access to the resources they need to reopen and to rebuild. And we will be responsible with taxpayers' dollars, ensuring accountability that reduces waste and fraud and abuse like we did in the Recovery Act that I administered in our administration. Direct cash payments, extended unemployment insurance, rent relief, food assistance, keeping essential frontline workers on the job, aid to small businesses. These are the key elements to the American Rescue Plan that would lift 12 million Americans out of poverty and cut child poverty in half. That's 5 million children lifted out of poverty if we move. Our plan will reduce poverty in the Black community by one-third, reduce poverty in the Hispanic community by almost 40%, and includes much more, like an increase in the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. People tell me that's going to be hard to pass. Florida just passed it. As divided as that state is, they just passed it. The rest of the country is ready to move as well. It should be a national minimum wage of $15 an hour. No one working 40 hours a week should live below the poverty line. That's what it means. If you work for less than $15 an hour and work 40 hours a week, you're living in poverty. It includes access to affordable child care that will enable parents, particularly women, to get back to work. I look forward to working with members of Congress of both parties to move quickly to get the American Rescue Plan to the American people. And then we can move with equal urgency and bipartisanship to my Build Back Better recovery plan that I will call for next month to generate even more economic growth. American manufacturing was the arsenal of democracy in World War II. It will be so again. Imagine a future made in America, all made in America, and all by Americans. We'll use taxpayers' dollars to rebuild America. We'll buy American products, supporting millions of American manufacturing jobs, enhancing our competitive strength in an increasingly competitive world. Imagine historic investments in research and development to sharpen America's innovative edge in markets where global leadership is up for grabs, markets like the battery technology, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, clean energy. Imagine confronting the climate crisis with American jobs and ingenuity leading the world. It's time to stop talking about infrastructure and to finally start building an infrastructure so we can be more competitive. Millions of good-paying jobs that put Americans to work rebuilding our roads, our bridges, our ports to make them more climate resilient, to make them faster, cheaper, cleaner, transport American-made goods across our country and around the world. That's how we compete. And imagine millions of jobs in a caregiving economy to ease the financial burden of caring for young children and aged loved ones. Let's make sure our caregivers, mostly women, women of color, immigrants, have the same pay and dignity that they deserve. So we can do these bold, practical things now. Now, you know, I know what I just described does not come cheaply, but failure to do so will cost us dearly. The consensus among leading economists is we simply cannot afford not to do what I'm proposing. Independent, respected institutions from around the world, from the Federal Reserve to the International Monetary Fund, have underscored the urgency. Even Wall Street firms have reinforced the logic. If we invest now boldly, smartly, and with unwavering focus on American workers and families, we will strengthen our economy, reduce inequity, and put our nation's long-term finances on the most sustainable course. and where we're making permanent investments, recurring investments. As I said in the campaign trail, we will pay for that by making sure that everyone pays their fair share, not punishing anybody. We can do it without punishing a single person by closing tax loopholes for companies that ship jobs overseas, or to allow American companies, 90 of them in the top Fortune 500, to pay zero in federal income taxes, asking everyone to pay their fair share at the top so we can make permanent investments to rescue and rebuild America. It's the right thing for our economy. It's the fair thing. It's the decent thing to do. We not only have an economic imperative to act now, I believe we have a moral obligation. In this pandemic, in America, we cannot let people go hungry. We cannot let people get evicted. We cannot watch nurses, educators, and others lose their jobs. We so badly need them. We must act now and act decisively. My fellow Americans, the decisions we make in the next few weeks and months are going to determine whether we thrive in a way that benefits all Americans, or that we stay stuck in a place where those at the top do great, while economic growth for most everyone else is just a spectator sport, and where American prospects dim, not brighten. These investments will determine whether we reassert American leadership and outcompete our competitors in a global economy. We're better equipped to do this than any nation in the world. Or that we watch them catch up and pass us by. Together, I know which path we'll choose. And that includes all Americans, so we can own the 21st century. But even with all of these bold steps, it's going to take time to get where we need to be. There will be stumbles, but I will always be honest with you about both the progress we're making and what setbacks we meet. And there will, and here's the deal. The more people we vaccinate, the faster we do it, the sooner we can save lives and put this pandemic behind us and get back to our lives and our loved ones. And the sooner we can rescue and rebuild the American economy, the biggest and most profitable engine in the world. I know it's been nearly a year that tested us beyond measure. For all of you who have lost someone, my heart goes out to you. I know that feeling looking at an empty chair across the table. All of you have fallen on hard times. I know you can never get back what you lost. But as your president, I know that every day matters and every person matters. From the very first to the nearly 400,000 lost American souls and counting, to the millions of you just looking for a fighting chance in this economy, I promise you, we will not forget you. We understand what you're going through. We will never, ever give up. And we will come back. We'll come back together. Well, we didn't get into all this overnight. We won't get out of it overnight. And we can't do it as a separated and divided nation. The only way we can do it is to come together, as fellow Americans, as neighbors, as the United States of America. And when we do, there's nothing beyond our capacity. I've said this many times. When America acts as one, there's never been a single thing we've been unable to do, no matter how consequential the issue has been. Out of all the peril of this moment, I want you to know, I give you a word, I see the promise as well. We've seen clearly what we face now. And I remain so optimistic about America, as optimistic as I've ever been. We have everything we need. But the will must be demonstrated. So come Wednesday, we begin a new chapter. The Vice President-elect and I will do our best to meet all the expectations you have for the country and the expectations we have for it. I'm confident. I am truly confident. Together, we can get this done and come out better off than when we went into this crisis. God bless you all.
And may God protect our troops.
On KSL News Radio, you've been listening to President-elect Joe Biden live, a 25-minute address from Delaware. Mr. Biden laid out the economic perils we face and his solutions, what he called the American Rescue Plan, which includes a $1,400 stimulus payment to every American, emergency nutritional assistance for 43 million families through the SNAP program, a hold on evictions, and federal unemployment would be set at $400 per week through September. Tomorrow, he says, he'll explain how the country will achieve 100 million vaccinations in his first 100 days. Remember, the $1.9 trillion plan will go before a Democratic majority Congress. And while the president-elect was speaking, we had breaking news here at KSL News Radio. Governor Spencer Cox has just declared a state of emergency this weekend at the state capitol in anticipation of protests. The precaution comes after the siege of the U.S. Capitol last week. The governor saying, "We respect the right of Utah residents to peaceably assemble as guaranteed in the Constitution, but we draw the line at threats to physical safety or to the Utah Capitol building. No violence of any kind will be tolerated." In the executive order, the governor asked the Utah National Guard, Utah Highway Patrol, and various area police departments to stand ready to ensure the safety of lives and property at the Utah Capitol between January 15th, tomorrow, and January 21st, the day after the inauguration. KSL News Time, 5:45.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.